Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us right now, Al, and I realized I needed to talk with Mike Sielski after we had had that intriguing conversation yesterday with Marcus Hayes. Because like Marcus Hayes, Mike Sielski is an intriguing and interesting columnist, works at the Inquirer, and he's on our show right now. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Angelo. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing great. I get it. We're with Marcus Hayes yesterday. And even though I think a lot of columnists think this way, Mike, I don't think they announce it. And he says to me, I'm saying, you know, isn't it depressing all these teams losing in our city now? We got to root for minor leaguers and stuff like that. And he goes, I don't ever root for any of our teams. I don't give a damn whether they win or lose. All I root for is the best story. Do you have the same philosophy, Mike?
Absolutely.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's funny. I think nowadays, and in many ways, this is great, the proliferation of blogs and media and talk shows and, you know, writing about sports and, you know, politics and all that kind of stuff. It's wonderful. But I think one of the expectations that changes is that a lot of people from generations younger than ours, even mine, go to a website that covers sports expecting that the people who write about it implicitly or explicitly want the team they're writing about to do well. And I can't speak for any other media outlet, but generally speaking, at Philly.com and the Inquirer and the Daily News, you know this, Angelo, we try to approach it covering it from a journalistic standpoint, and that means you really don't care. You root for a good story, whether that's a team collapsing. I wrote a couple weeks before the draft that I would be excited to see the Sixers draft Lonzo Ball because, boy, covering LeVar Ball would be fun as hell.
Well, we all agree on that. But, Mike, my perspective changed when I came over to this side, the radio side, and I realized that in order for the stories to resonate, sometimes the teams have to be at least good enough so people have hope. That's the one thing I think I learned doing it on this side, that I always thought, well, this is a great story, but if it's about an awful team or a player on an awful team, it's still limited in the audience because a lot of people have shut out that team. But you obviously feel that if the story's good enough, it doesn't matter whether it's a winner or loser. That's what you're telling me, right? Right?
Yeah, from the way I think people like me and Marcus and other people we work with approach the job. Now, I'll say two things. Number one, very clearly fans feel differently, and it would certainly be helpful to, you know, media entities in the area from a financial standpoint if the teams were better. We'd get more clicks on our website and people would buy more newspapers and all that kind of stuff because that's what happens when the Eagles make a Super Bowl run, you know, once every 75 years or so, and the Phillies go to the World Series and things like that. And the other thing is I think that optimism, that hope, is reflected in that poll you just revealed. I mean, I think people have a lot of long-term hope for the Sixers, and that explains why 50% of the respondents in your poll think that they're the most interesting team to watch right now.
Well, you've just done a couple of stories on process is what I want to get to, but all right, Mike, right now in our city, what's the best story?
That's a really good question. I think the Sixers are a pretty good one. I really do. I think the mystery around what Embiid, Simmons, and Fultz can be, both because of Embiid and Simmons' health and the dicey nature of whether they'll actually get on the floor and stay on the floor, plus the unknown of what Simmons and Markel Fultz are actually going to be in the NBA, given that they haven't played a game yet, and what Embiid might be as he grows and develops and hopefully stays healthy, I think that's right at the top of the list.
All right. Now, I was reading your column. You've written a couple of really great columns this week on people and things and processes and how you establish your position in sports. I got the sense, though, Mike, that you really feel that the process is going to work. Am I right?
I think it has a good chance of working the way it's set up now. I think with Embiid, Simmons, and Fultz, it's probably not going to happen immediately because, let's face it, the NBA is a league where young teams, really young teams, don't do particularly well. They just don't. You need veterans. You need, kind of hardened guys to make that playoff run, guys who have established themselves and grown into their bodies physically and all that stuff. But I think the Sixers are off to a promising start with the process. They do.
And one of your columns was about how you thought there was actually a backlash against the rookies on the Sixers because of the process, right? In other words, neither Saric nor Embiid got enough votes to be Rookie of the Year. And you thought that was maybe a statement about the process that was used here?
I think there were a number of people in and around the NBA who were just fine with the fact that Malcolm Brogdon won Rookie of the Year. I don't think that there was any conspiracy or anything like that. I don't think the league had anything to do with this. I'm willing to bet that a number of media members and broadcasters who voted for Rookie of the Year probably voted for Brogdon thinking like, I don't particularly like the Sixers. I don't care for what happened there. I mean, I don't have any proof of that. I'm just taking the temperature of, reactions you see from people in the media and people you interact with. But yeah, that's basically what I was saying, that there are a lot of people out there who still don't like what the Sixers did.
Right,
I think I'm talking to one, right?
I don't like it, and I don't believe in it. I need to see victories, and I'm sitting next to my best pal, Hollis Thomas, who agrees with me. Right, Hal?
Hell yeah.
We love it. All right, so here's the thing, though, Mike. I'm going to give you three names, and you're going to tell me who you think the best story is. I think I know the answer to this. And Who you think ultimately is going to be the best player of the three, all right?
Okay.
Embiid, Kingery, or who's my third?
Well, you're going to go Fultz, you're going to go quarterback.
Wentz.
Wentz.
All right. Embiid, Wentz, Kingery. Who's the most interesting and who's most likely to be the best?
I would probably say Embiid is the most interesting, given his injuries. And if he's healthy, he will be the best. I don't think there's anybody who would doubt that.
Okay.
His injury gives you the caveat that, you could make a really good argument for Carson Wentz.
But none for Kingery?
Not right now, no.
Wow. Now, Mike, do you know how I started my day? Mike, 3 a.m. I used to cover the Pawtucket Red Sox when I was younger than you, Mike.
You covered the 33-inning game, as I recall.
Yes, I was at the longest game ever played. I was there, too, for one inning.
Yeah. Right,
but Mike, and I'm watching, and it suddenly occurs to me that Lehigh's playing Pawtucket. And I went, my God, I've come full circle. 3 in the morning, I'm watching highlights of the Pawtucket Red Sox play Lehigh because Kingery hit the home run. But you need to see, at what point does Kingery get on your radar as a big story?
I think when he comes up to the major league level and approximates for the Phillies what he's done for Redding and Lehigh Valley. I think that's – I mean, you're talking about three so different and disparate sports there, and the impact that a single individual can make on each of his teams in that regard, that it's apples to oranges to pears in some way. I mean, Embiid plays basketball. If he's healthy, he's one of only 5 guys on the floor and is going to so – impact and change what the Sixers can be. Carson Wentz is a quarterback. As great as he might be, I mean, he could turn the Eagles into a playoff team, I'm certain, but if he plays as well as they hope he can play, but they still have to fix their defense, and he could be terrific, and it doesn't mean that they're going to win a Super Bowl. Kingery, he's diluted down even further because he's one guy on a baseball team. I mean, Barry Bonds was the greatest hitter I ever saw, didn't win a World Series. Played on some lousy teams from time to time. So I think it's just kind of the nature of each of the sports.
Final thing, Mike, and there's this old thing in newspapers where I know the answer already, but I still want to ask it. Because I asked you about winning teams and how important that was to you as a columnist. Where's the better story, in the winning locker room or the losing locker room?
Oh, it depends.
It totally depends.
Yeah, I mean,
I've always found it in the losing.
Well, you know what? All right, perfect example, because I know you had him on earlier this week.
Yeah.
Game 6 of the 1993 World Series.
Yep.
Tell me where the better story is. Is it Joe Carter or is it Mitch Williams?
Mitch Williams.
Yeah, for Philadelphia, certainly, it was Mitch Williams. I mean, not better in terms of, hey, our team won, because obviously your team didn't, but better in terms of that's the more compelling angle to write or cover. The guy who, pitched himself till he was nearly dead and gave up the game-winning home run.
But you have said right here, Mike, that whether these teams win or lose is not really important to you. It's the story you can write after that game.
Angel, I have a long story that's coming out next month, and okay. It has nothing to do with any of the four pro teams in town. It's about a guy who a lot of people listening to your show will have heard of, many will have not heard of. I just think it's a really good story, and it doesn't have anything to do with whether the teams win or lose, anything like that. I truly believe that. I mean, I understand Philly sports fans. In a lot of ways, it's more fun, obviously, to cover teams when they're winning. I can understand why it makes your job easier to do and more enjoyable to do. On a day-to-day basis, it doesn't move the needle for me.
Interesting. Stop. Mike Sielski. I think he just proved why you got to read him every day. We'll be looking forward to that story. Mike, always an honor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Angelo. Appreciate it.
The great Mike Sielski.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.